Welcome to today's deep dive. You know, picture the sheer logistical terror of writing a single law to govern every single moving vehicle across an entire nation.
Yeah, both the formal and the informal ones.
Right. Well, in 2009, South Africa attempted exactly that with the National Land Transport Act. And today, our mission is to unpack this massive legal and logistical puzzle.
It is quite the undertaking.
It really is. I mean, it's like trying to upgrade a commercial airliner while it is currently in midair. You have to keep people moving while simultaneously rebuilding the engine.
That is a great analogy, actually. Rebuilding that midair engine requires a highly coordinated chain of command, which is why the Act breaks everything down into this three-tiered puzzle.
Right, so we are talking about the national, provincial, and municipal levels.
Exactly. So at the national level, the minister creates this overarching five-year National Land Transport Strategic Framework.
Oh, got it.
Then you have the provincial level, where the MECs coordinate the regions. And finally, the municipal level, where they create the actual integrated transport plans.
Wait, but honestly, putting three layers of politicians in charge of local transit? That sounds like a recipe for a bureaucratic nightmare. I mean, doesn't everyone just get a veto?
Well, you would think so, but the system is actually designed to balance a unified national vision with local control. The national tier basically just sets the baseline.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. The real engine of this act is at the municipal level. It empowers the municipalities to establish their own municipal land transport funds.
Ah, and they fund those through very localized user charges, right?
Precisely.
Like taxing vehicles entering specific congestion zones or, you know, charging for parking spaces.
Exactly. The money doesn't just disappear into some national treasury. It stays local. This gives the municipalities the actual capital to execute those five-year plans.
Which they definitely need. Because you can't just draw up a pristine five-year plan and ignore the messy reality that independent, informal operators are already on those roads.
Yeah. That is the hardest part. The Act handles this through what it calls the rationalization of road-based public transport, specifically targeting the minibus taxi-type services.
Rationalization. That sounds like a very polite word for a forced ultimatum.
It pretty much is. The government gave these informal operators a really stark choice for recapitalization.
What was the choice?
Basically, either leave the industry entirely and have your permits canceled, or acquire a brand new compliant vehicle with the same capacity to receive a formal operating license.
Wait, really? That is like a software update that forces you to either buy a new device or just completely lose access to the app.
That is a harsh way to put it, but yes.
But how does an independent driver just casually afford a brand new commercial vehicle?
Well, that is where the structural funding kicks in. The operators had to hand in their old, often unsafe vehicles, to be permanently scrapped.
Okay.
And in return, they got a scrapping allowance from the government. That allowance served as the capital deposit for the new compliant vehicle.
Oh, wow. So you physically trade in your chaotic, unregulated hardware to buy into the formal licensed ecosystem.
Right. Upgrade your hardware, yeah. Or you are legally locked out of the network. But any rigid system like that needs pressure valves.
Which explains the specific exemptions in the Act.
Yes. The Act doesn't apply these heavy-handed licensing rules to everything. It explicitly exempts things like lift clubs or farmers transporting their own workers or school transport.
Which makes total sense. I mean, trying to license every single farmer's truck would just paralyze the local communities you're trying to help.
Exactly. And that brings us to the main takeaway here. Fixing traffic or modernizing transit isn't just about pouring concrete.
Right.
It requires a really delicate alignment of legal frameworks, local funding, and strict ultimatums for private operators to unify the grid.
It really does. Mm-hmm. And before we wrap up, here's a provocative final thought for you to mull over. Think about the modern gig economy you interact with daily.
Oh, right. Like ride sharing or food delivery.
Yeah, exactly. Those systems rely on vast, fragmented fleets of independent vehicles, very much like the informal transit networks we just talked about.
That is a really good point.
So as cities get more congested, how might similar rigid legal ultimatums completely reshape those chaotic systems of the future? Something to think about.